It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You can let me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
I see what she did. Somebody's been messing with buttons on the board. There's mute buttons on here that I forgot about. And Marissa June was running the board last, and I, like, cracked the mic, and where am I? Anyway, Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Paul?
Cameron Moses is here, not to be confused with the other Cameron.
Yeah.
And we have Mayor Cal Sheehy in the house as well.
Hi there.
Everybody's Googling this morning. It's funny.
They're all questions you had. Yeah.
I know. I'm having a bad Jeopardy day. What can I say, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the artist I was thinking of for Friday at Harrah's, which I will be in attendance now, is Kane Brown.
Yeah, big star.
There you go. Huge, right?
Yeah. Laughlin's been getting some good acts lately.
Man.
Like some big names.
And that's not just the Laughlin
Event Center.
Tourism. Yeah, yeah, LTC. That's Harrah's.
Right.
He's at Harrah's. Just yeah. Like they had... comedian there too, Kevin. See, I'm having
Hart,
a horrible.
Kevin Hart.
Thank you.
Okay.
Having a horrible Jeopardy day today. I saw Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was phenomenal, by the way. I
really enjoyed
that.
He sells out arenas, and they got him in Laughlin.
It was the last stop on the tour, he said, and he said the audience response was so great that they're going to do it again next year, and it was about 10,000.
Nice.
There's quite a bit. It's a big venue now. I remember when I was there to help build it, it was a lot smaller. It was more square.
Mm-hmm.
Now it just reaches all the way back to the berm and faces towards the showroom. Like, the stage is like, you're looking at the showroom, but the stage is like in between you and the showroom. So
it's an indoor venue, right?
No, it's outdoors.
Oh, the
it's
event
outdoors.
Center.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said it was at Harrah's.
It's at Harrah's.
Oh. So, yeah, they have an event center out at Harrah's just to the, like, when you're coming down the hill into Harrah's, it's right there. On
right
the
when you're coming down, and then you have that's the Rio Vista Amphitheater, and then you have the showroom as well. So the Fiesta showroom. Anyway, Mayor Cal Sheehy is here, and Councilman Cameron Moses is here, and man, I guess to me the big 800-pound elephant in the room is Go Lake Havasu, right? What in the world? I mean, talk about a shocking headline, right? Sean Buckley resigning. In fact, it is confirmed.
Yes, I as I've read in the paper, I haven't talked with Sean directly about it yet, but it's my understanding that he has some personal matters and is going to be leaving the organization. But he is staying for to assist the board with the transition, which is fantastic. You know, he's brought some really good energy to Go Lake Havasu and some of the programming.
Yeah.
And so it'll be good to have some of that time to transition the work that he's done over the last year or so at the organization with whoever the board is able to hire for the future of the organization.
Mm-hmm. He could easily be a motivational seminar person, a Tony Robbins, right? Mm. I mean, he's a force.
Yeah, he has a lot of energy and a lot of passion for marketing, and had it, he brought that with him to Lake Havasu with the program of work that Go Lake Havasu is doing to attract events and visitors and all of the things that help drive our tourism economy, which is one of our number one drivers.
Right, right. So, cite of personal reasons and that, are we, you know, the first thing I thought of is, wow, this is really going to be, it might be a campaign issue for you coming up.
Sure.
Have you anticipated that?
Absolutely. I mean, any time that we have the opportunity to talk about the work that the city's doing and the good work that we're doing, I welcome that. And, you know, Go Lake Havasu helps drive our largest economic driver, which is tourism. Mm-hmm. And Go Lake Havasu has been a good partner. They have lots of different avenues that they work on. Sometimes the focus of some of our residents are just on one component of what Go Lake Havasu is responsible for. But it's much more broad than just that. And the city has a contract for services for Go Lake Havasu to provide tourism promotion and tourism marketing within our community. They will continue to do that. They've done a good job of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when this first came in, the funding mechanism, everyone talks about, oh, it's taxpayer dollars, it's taxpayer dollars. Well, you know, taxpayer dollars pay our electric bill as well. They also pay the bills for different projects that we have. And so we need to be a good steward of all of our taxpayer dollars across all levels. And when the bed tax came into fruition, as well as the 1% food and beverage tax, those were industry-led. They were led by the tourism industry to be able to find a funding mechanism to attract additional tourism. And those numbers, all of those dollars were going to Go Lake Havasu and the Partnership for Economic Development until about 5 years ago when the city council rewrote the contract, where now we take a portion of those dollars into the general fund to help offset police and fire and roads, in addition to our efforts on the economic development front with the PED and Go Lake Havasu. So we are watching over the taxpayer dollars, and we're ensuring that they're used in the best manner that's necessary to achieve our goals. And our goals is to help job creation, to help make sure that we have a vibrant community, a good quality of life for our citizens, to enjoy all the events and restaurants and parks and all of the things that are some of the byproducts of what tourism brings. And one thing that's true for Lake Havasu is that, you know, all the way to our founder, from Mr. McCulloch, when he was inviting people for a 3-day, 2-night stay to purchase property here as a visitor, to all of the people that have moved here, the majority have come here through the lens of tourism. Mm-hmm. A visit to friends and family, or to the lake, or to the river, or to an event, and then decide, hey, this is a really special place, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sell my stuff, and I'm moving to Lake Havasu.
That said, Havasu is no longer a secret, especially in the tourism community. Is it something that sells itself? Do we need to go Lake Havasu, or has that ship sailed too? A lot of people say we don't need go Lake Havasu. Cameron, you wanted to say something?
No, I would just say that, I've wondered those questions too. I've asked those questions at council of like, hey, what is our point of inflection where we no longer need to spend as much money? Or, you know, when are we spending too much or too little? So these are all questions that we all look at and struggle with and look at those things as well. But I'll tell you, I have a unique perspective because everyone asks me if I'm from Havasu. I say I'm a river kid at heart. I grew up in Parker. And I kind of had dual citizenship of Parker and Havasu, right? Like,
wow.
I lived down there, but I went to school up here, and I got to see the difference between communities, Parker and Havasu, of who invested in tourism and who didn't. Back in the day, Parker was the place to be. Nobody came to Havasu.
Really?
Nobody came to Havasu. Parker was the spot.
Are you sure that's not just because you grew up there?
No, I'm telling you. Ask anybody who's been coming here since the 70s, 60s. It was the cat's meow down there.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, Parker is twice as old, and half as big and half as many amenities, and just there's nothing going on in Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's through the intelligent investment in all of our industries, but tourism itself too, of making Havasu a fun place to be.
Well, and
when you stop that investment, it's kind of scary.
Part of that, too, maybe La Paz County and its standing statewide. It's not one of the more wealthy counties, I would bet, right? Cal?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the county government, you know, the Mojave County also has a tourism alliance that, mm-hmm. that they work on a regional basis. And, you know, so for, to your first question is, you know, when do we get that point where maybe we it sells itself?
Yes.
If you look at our bed tax collections, they're actually backwards.
We're down.
They're down right now. And so there's lots of competition across the major markets for people to go to, for event promoters and for general visitation. So we need to continue to go after and cultivate markets that are going to help drive these industries and ensure that we're top of mind awareness for people that are choosing to travel, and hopefully they choose like Havasu City as that destination.
One more question on this topic anyway, bed tax. Short-term rentals, are they included in the bed tax rate?
Yes, anyone that rents in a transient lodging for 30 days or less pays the 3% bed tax in addition to a 2% city sales tax.
Okay.
If you stay over 30 nights, you can choose not to charge that tax. And the property I manage, we still charge it because we build nightly. And we understand that the importance of tourism promotion is paramount to what we do.
Is there any thought in the city that you know of, because I know some candidates or future candidates, they haven't turned in their signatures yet, mm-hmm. so they're not qualified candidates, but is there any thought of bringing Go Lake Havasu into the city instead of a private board? It would be more of a board and commission from the city. The city would have the oversight.
Yeah, so if we're talking about fiscal management,
yes.
and ensuring that we protect taxpayer dollars and we do the thing that we get the most bang for our buck, bringing into the city is not mm-hmm. that answer. So they would then, all of the employees would be city employees with city benefits. They also would be subject to our procurement rules, which are guided by state statute.
Gotcha.
Which would drive up costs on all of these fronts.
Yeah.
And it also would politicize economic development within a community. So we need a community that our citizens have opportunities for employment, not that are at the whim of politics or a political lens at all. So some communities are very successful running visitor centers and having tourism in-house. I don't support that from the onset, just from the cost perspective. And it also allows Go Lake Havasu to work in a way that they can achieve the goals and objectives of the city as directed through the city council through the contract that we have with them, and we're able to get more than we would otherwise. So currently the sales tax collections for tourism related is in the $4+ million.
Right.
So we pay Go Lake Havasu $1.6 million to be able to do that, with the intent, the original intention when the tax went into place was all of those dollars would go to tourism.
I remember
promotion.
It was just cut back recently under Terrence Conn Kennedy.
Yeah, or under the leadership of my administration.
Well, right, that's true too.
From a fiscal management perspective, mm-hmm. to ensure that the dollars that we're investing in tourism achieve the goals and objectives of the city and the city council, and we're doing it in a way that is the most responsible.
Well, and I think it's important to talk about the board of Go Lake Havasu as well. I mean, those are Lake Havasu community members. Those are moms and dads, brothers and, you know what I mean? Those are,
yes.
those are people who own businesses and have stakes in our economy, and just want to see Havasu move forward. These aren't political people. These
right.
are just people volunteering their time to oversee an organization to that puts Lake Havasu in the best light possible.
Well, in my mind too, the private board can do, no offense, a better job than government.
Yes.
It's just more efficient.
I couldn't agree with
I
you
I agree.
Okay,
and that's
perfect.
Like, yes.
Perfect. All right, let's talk about tonight's meeting. There's a few items on the agenda. The Parks and Rec Master Plan comes to mind, and we can talk about this with the general plan as well.
Sure, yes. So, you know, there's lots of times that, you know, I think Cameron just talked about it when you talk about people that invested in tourism, those that didn't, and, mm-hmm. and what you can see, all that has to happen through a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we serve the citizens of Lake Havasu City, and the only way that we can create plans is by having community engagement. So starting with our general plan, which is we now have a draft of the general plan. This has been ongoing for about 10 months now. Lots of citizen input. We have a steering committee made up of members of the community. We have a technical group that have expertise in this that are putting it together. And citizen feedback, we now have that draft. And then tomorrow there is a general plan open house that's at 5 o'clock. It's at the library, and we encourage everyone to participate. It'll be an update and a public open house. in the community rooms A and B at the Mojave County Library here on McCulloch. And again, this is a product that is taking like a 30,000 to 40,000 foot view of planning within our community. And it looks at a variety of different sectors and different components to ensure that all of them are addressed. And the next steps will be the 60-day period that we're taking public comment and public feedback. We then will have a hearing in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission for recommendation of approval or disapproval to the council. And then we'll come to the City Council for consideration of approval. And then it goes in front of the voters in our general election in November for the voters to do final approval of the general plan. So it's a really, really important document, and you can engage at the public hearing tomorrow, and you can engage online, you can engage through social media, but just let us know your thoughts on it, and if all of the residents' feedback that we've received over the last 10 months is truly the right vision for Lake Havasu.
Okay.
It's a really exciting time to be a part of the future of Lake Havasu.
So did we touch on Parks and Rec yet?
No, if you want to go to break, and we can.
That would be, yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a short break. There's enough.
Cal can just read your mind.
Probably. Or he's playing segment producer.
All right. Just been on the show enough. I know that's where you're at. So.
Well, I don't think you know this, but I'm going to let you guys go a little bit early. We've got an interview with Sean Barker, the Man in Black tribute at the Riverside. Starts tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah, he's coming back to Laughlin. And, again, that's tomorrow night. And you can go to the Riverside's website and check that out when Sean Barker's coming. Or it's themaninblack.com, if I remember right. You can get tickets there as well. So I'll have that interview towards the end of, well, about quarter till we'll go. That way you won't get fined at Rotary or wherever it is you're going to. Right, Cal?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Mayor Cal Sheehy, our guest, along with Councilman Cameron Moses. And we'll talk about the Parks and Rec Master Plan and the consultant that is up for hire. The council's going to decide that tonight. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. We do have a phone line open, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. Let's go out with little Kane Brown. I think this was his first hit, actually. That song, love Kane Brown, coming to Laughlin on Friday. We just had a little, it wasn't a dispute. It was like, no, he's playing here on Saturday. No, he's playing here on Friday. And anyway, he's in Phoenix on Saturday at a festival. Mm-hmm. Right, Cameron?
Yep. Bryan is doing one in Tempe.
With Luke Bryan?
Luke Bryan's playing on Friday, so Luke Bryan's headlining Friday, and then Kane Brown headlines Saturday.
Nice!
With Hardy and Shabuzi and Jesse Murphy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Nice show. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag. Of course, our room sponsor, the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue, also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. And, ooh, next week we've got the Girl Power Hour. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's the girls doing the real estate. Only it's not the real estate power. It's the Girl Power Hour.
Nice.
Cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And then you've got Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Electric Cooperative, also TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. So there you have it. And I'll have to get the names. I can't remember who's on the Girl Power Hour, because it's every other month.
Oh, okay.
It's not like ingrained in my skull yet. We've only had one show, but man, was it good. They're giving Chad a run for his money.
Yeah,
right?
Excellent.
He needs it.
He does need it. You hear that, Chad? But we still love you. Anyway, coming up on the interview with Sean Barker, the Man in Black tribute. It's in the can, by the way. It's already done. So he's not calling in or anything like that.
Okay.
I can float you guys.
Yeah, very
nice. Right? All right, perfect. So let's talk about the Parks and Rec Master Plan and the firm that's going to be hired to do the overview of that plan, the consultant.
Yes. Yeah, so
potentially.
Tonight, yeah, tonight there's
potentially.
We were talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah, consideration for an agreement to do a parks master plan. And this will be actually the first time that it's ever been done in Lake Havasu City. And generally what a parks master plan will do is it'll take into account all of our park assets as they exist today, as well as all of our recreation programming and amenities, and be able to take in growth factors and design a plan for how the parks and recreation system should continue to grow to serve our residents.
Mm-hmm.
And we have never done this before, and one of the reasons why it's so important is that we're able to have landscape architects, and we're able to have different asset reviews on what we have, on how we can ensure that we have the amenities that our residents are looking for. And one example is that most of the amenities we have in Lake Havasu City have been championed by passion project users. And so the biggest example would be Cypress Park, which is where all of our soccer fields are at right now. When we started talking about that, our soccer community has, I don't know, Councilmember Moses, is it 1,200 families that are in our soccer program?
Quite a bit, yeah.
It's a whole bunch. And so we didn't have enough soccer amenities for that community. And so the parents and the community members that were championing that project, by the time we were able to get it, and we moved fast on Cypress.
Yeah.
By the time we were able to secure the land from the school district, build it, and get it operated, those children aged out of the system. They weren't even able to use it because of the time that it took to make all of that happen. With a parks master plan, those issues go away. And so it doesn't mean that, add-ons or additional things to our parks or to recreation programming can't be nimble and we can't change quickly. But it does allow us to plan and forecast and gives the tools to the city council and to the residents. It gives them a surety of program dollars in our budget process to ensure that we're keeping up with the quality of life that makes Lake Havasu City so special for so many. And so this program has been done in Arizona. The company actually that we're considering did one in the city of Kingman just recently, did one in Scottsdale, the city of Mesa. So they have a lot of Arizona experience doing this. And once we have this first one done, any subsequent planning documents in 10 years or whatnot, we'll at least have the foundation of what we already have. But we don't have any of that in one centralized place. But it also will allow some of the rec users, they'll talk about some of these for-profit facilities in some of these other communities. It also will provide opportunities and pathways for populations that may exist there, where it might be an opportunity for an economic development move, where someone wants to invest and build an indoor play space or whatever that is outside of the city government.
I think what caught my eye was the expense.
Yes.
It's a large price tag.
Really, really, really pricey, but when it comes down to it, actually.
How much was that on the, I don't have the.
It's $250,000.
$250,000. That's quarter of a million.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So some of the companies that were, providing bids were upwards of $300,000 and $400,000. So you gotta, take into account all of the experts that are coming to be a part of this. So not only the community engagement piece. So those are users of our current facilities and residents of our community. But also the landscape architects and planners and space makers and all of these things that bring expertise to say that, you know, maybe in this area you can use this field and you can make it versatile where it could be used for three different sports versus building just a baseball diamond.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, in off-season it could be used for soccer or for kickball or whatever other uses could be.
I also, because I had some of that same reaction, Paul, but when you really look at it and you really boil down to what they're going to be doing, I think this is going to be a pretty labor-intensive project with a lot of outreach, a lot of talking to a lot of users. I mean, just this week I heard we went from like 12 baseball and softball users, different organizations, so now they just started another one, another user that we're going to have to, you know, work into the system somehow and figure out how we can all play nicely. There's a lot of people and a lot of moving parts, and this is going to be a very, very labor-intensive outreach, to really get a good a good feel for what we have, what we need. Because right now everyone's in this kind of famine mode where, like, they need as many fields as they can. And instead of just using what, you know what I mean? They're over-saying what they need just in case.
Scheduling just sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, I do not envy the Parks, the team down there. And they're doing good, and we've been giving them some better tools as far as scheduling systems go and programs and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, just fact of the matter is, I jokingly say, hey, you know, I'll do it for $245,000. I'll tell you exactly what I mean. But we need these outside people to come in here. And so that there's no bias and they're treating everybody fairly and really, really honing down to what it is we need and what are we going to need and what is the path to get there.
I got you.
And it also, the document, the end document we're going to get actually gives us a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a words on a page. It actually has, conceptual, ideas. I mean, they're not construction plans. We'll still have to go through that process, but it'll give us a roadmap for the future and it'll allow us to prioritize based on the resources that we have available. And it'll allow us to bring community partners in, and I mean there's so many benefits that this will come forward for that will benefit the residents and also the taxpayers. We'll be saving money in the long run because we'll have a cohesive planning document versus saying, oh no, we need to build a baseball diamond, and then we do that, and then soccer comes behind and they're like, oh, we need a soccer field too.
I was going to say the first thing they must be looking at is availability of land.
Yes.
Period.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't play on what's not there.
100%.
Yeah. All right.
And then it also is going to take into account the recreation program. So we don't always talk about the recreation side of things, but, you know, the aquatic facilities, you know, the need for additional pools, where those should be, what they should look like, just regular programming for our residents from, you know, littles all the way up to our senior citizens and everything in between. So it's a really comprehensive process and document that we'll be able to have a roadmap for.
Maybe it was a good thing that you held up on or held off on the pool, the second pool.
Possibly.
You know? Maybe that's a... Exactly. All right, we're going to take our second break of the hour, and you guys will have a shorter segment coming up. And again, it's Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy, Council Member Cameron Moses, and back with more in a moment. Bet you're glad you're not campaigning right now, right?
It's nice to sit back and watch, and but at the same time, I don't like, you know,
the silly season.
Yeah, the silly season, not my favorite, no matter what.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, 928-854-5687 if you have a question for the mayor and Councilman Moses.
Thank God for giving me you.
That's called For My Daughter, little Kane Brown coming back. And I don't know, I guess I'm in a Kane Brown mood today.
I guess.
I might be all week.
Yeah.
You're going to see him, right?
Me too.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also by Springburg Wealth Management, by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. And shop local, because small business like Jay Bones or London Bridge Resort is kind of a big deal, right? You guys consider it a small business, Cal?
I would think so.
I opened my mouth and I went, wait, that place isn't very small.
Yeah, we're family owned. We have 250 employees that all live here in Lake Havasu. So I would
perfectly
say we're family owned.
Family owned, you know. There you go. All right, so we got off on a little tangent off the air about medians.
Yes.
You love that topic, don't you?
I love to give the information that I have.
Everybody wants to know, what are they doing?
Yeah, so after, when the medians first went in, they obviously were scoped incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And so we started noticing right away, and, you know, the myself and our colleagues, we all got with ADOT right away. And started talking about it, but it really wasn't until the citizens really started coming together and making telephone calls that ADOT started moving. And so now they have been able to reallocate some funds in their budget to lengthen the lanes.
Uh-huh.
And so I think what you were complaining about off air was that right now there's some
the
travel
speed limit.
Yeah,
see,
so you have
35.
To go down. Yeah, it's down to one lane.
Come
and
on, there was nobody out there.
Yeah, so they're cutting out some of the medians and shaving them down a bit and changing the. So that it's not bullnose anymore. It's
more rounded.
Yeah, more rounded. There's a word for it. It's escaping me right now. Yeah. But so those are
beveled, maybe.
Yeah, that's not the word that they're using. It'll come to me right as soon as I walk out this door.
Of course,
sure,
always.
But yeah, so they're making it easier for the drivers and the motorists, and that's what people had wanted. And so they're out there doing the work now, and hopefully they're going to be able to get to all of the medians, but I'm not sure that they have the funding available to do all of that. So they're doing what they can to address the concerns that our residents had in that area, mm-hmm. which is really unfortunate because it should have been addressed before
we all started banging that drum. I mean, I know I was. I saw you. I saw Councilman Diaz, Councilwoman Campbell. We were all banging it, and... And then we could have saved them a lot of money in the beginning. But,
Okay, once they're done, is that good enough?
Let's see what they look like. And
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, change is hard.
I keep driving out there just saying, I'm like, hey, what's it going to look like? How's it going to feel? You can't get a feel for it yet.
No, but not yet.
But the root of it is that the reason that the project moved forward through the planning organization was for safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we have had some unfortunate instances of head-on crashes and deaths that have been a part of that. So that's at the root of it. But we still need to make sure that it's done the right way.
You know, I had to say was the word medians.
Hey, there you go.
And the phone rang. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey guys, thank you for everything. I just had a question in regard to Lake Havasu being a thriving, growing city. And as you know, recently our Colorado neighbors, haven't come to a water agreement.
Yes.
With the usage of the Colorado River. So my understanding is it could go to the federal government, mm-hmm. which, states that they could cut Arizona's water supply by 75% from what it is currently now. So is the city and the county possibly doing anything to anticipate that with Lake Havasu being a growing and thriving city and all that's off the air?
That is a great question and probably my top story this morning.
Yes, no, that was a very good question. So, yeah, the city of Lake Havasu City and Mojave County have really been leaders in this front for decades,
mm-hmm.
ensuring that we had the water allocations and availability to allow for our current use as well as our future growth. But as the caller had said, that means nothing if the federal government cuts the actual wet water flow by 75%.
CAP's going to be 77%, they're estimating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Central Arizona Project.
Yeah, which is at the south end of the lake. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of the benefits for Lake Havasu is that we're a balancing reservoir. So as far as the fluctuation of the lake is really going to be very minimal, and which then allows us to get our water allocation for our community because we have to serve the water to the Metropolitan and to CAP. So, yes, the county has been leaders on it. The city has. We're still having discussions. We're doing draft comments for the EIS that the federal government's going to use in making their decision.
Environmental Impact Study.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry for using the acronym.
That's all right. I'm doing that for Jess.
And they're due
Jess gets confused.
Yeah, they're due next week. So, we're on all over this right now and watching it and also at the table having these discussions.
All right. Perfect. Guys, you did it. Nice job.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet, of course. And anything else you want to mention about the council meeting tonight?
5:30 this evening in the council chambers. We'd love to have all of our residents join us. If you can't join us in person, we're available online as well.
What's it? I haven't even seen the agenda. Big,
we have seven public hearings.
Oh, not too bad.
And we covered three of them already.
And we covered three. Any others you want to highlight just really quickly?
No, I think we're the rest are...
just supplies for our ambulances. I think we got a public utility truck that we're looking at, stuff like that. Just.
Yeah.
I gave Cal the wind it up signal, and man, he just like, he takes direction really well from the floor.
Yeah,
you know?
Close it down quick. We also have our water master plan.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not water planning, it's our infrastructure plan.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
So it's slightly different than what we were just talking
about. I got you.
Yeah,
good
clarification.
All right, we're going to go to Sean Barker next. The Man in Black tribute starts at the Riverside tomorrow night. And he's normally in Branson with Legends in Concert. You know Legends, right, the show?
I do.
Yeah, long time, long running show. We talk about that as well. And anyway, thanks for being on the show, Mayor Cal Sheehy, Councilman Cameron Moses. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
All right,
we'll
see you next month. And stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. It's a recorded interview, so don't call in. Sean Barker, the Man in Black tribute, coming up next.
I wish I could be more like her. My little dangling feet, pretty and pink backseat. I wanna live, I wanna give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie with a very special guest. It's Sean Barker, and he's in The Man in Black, a tribute to Johnny Cash. Sean Barker, welcome to Speak Out. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So you come back to the Riverside. What can fans expect when you start tomorrow night, those shows in Don Celebrity Theater, of course?
Yeah, I think most of the people that come and see us in Laughlin, like I said, we've been coming there for about 15 years. They're gonna know what to expect. They've come to kind of know the show and enjoy the show. You know, we're going to be playing all of Johnny Cash's big hits, Walk the Line, Ring of Fire, and we do the later stuff that Rick Rubin did with Hurt and some of that kind of stuff. We have a girl named Emily Portman that will be with us. She'll be doing all the June Carter singing and all the great duets like Jackson in the show. And it's just a great live show. It's got a lot of energy, and people always come out and support us really well there at Don Laughlin's, and we're looking forward to getting back.
Speaking of legends that have described your show as being exactly like the Johnny Cash show from the 60s. Tell us about that. How did you come up with that idea?
Yeah, we worked with W.S. Holland. He was the one who kind of made the comments about it being like working with Johnny when they were kind of in their prime in the 60s and the energy of the show and stuff like that. We try to actually kind of do it in a chronological order from his early days of Sun Records onto like the 60s when he was doing like the Live in Folsom Prison and the prison concerts. We touch base on his television show, his gospel career, because he did travel and tour in the 80s and stuff. He traveled and toured with the Billy Graham tent revivals for a long time. And then we also go into his later life and what he was doing before he passed away when he was recording the American records with Rick Rubin.
Again, Sean Barker, tomorrow night, The Man in Black, a tribute to Johnny Cash, starts at the Riverside Resort Hotel and Casino in Laughlin, and those shows in Don Celebrity Theater. Just call the Riverside, 702-298-2535, extension 616, is usually gets you right to the entertainment office, and check out how you can get tickets to that show. I know you're pretty popular in Laughlin. I've heard that. I've heard that you resemble a young Cash as well. Do you ever get stopped and asked, hey, man, are you related to Johnny Cash?
People have come to the show, and then, like, I do meet and greets after, and people have always asked, you know, is there a family tie there or anything like that? And as far as I know, there is not.
How long do you plan on doing this, Sean, as far as the tribute?
As long as people want to come, you know, and see the shows, and we're getting booked out. It's the livelihood that has supported me for the last 20-plus years now.
Yeah, I meant because I know you've done some other stuff that your range goes as high as Roy Orbison. So I was just curious if you had planned to do any of your own stuff in your spare time, or maybe you do now.
I had done and recorded my own CD, oh gosh, it's been a long time now, with songs that I'd written and songs that friends and stuff had written. But no, I don't have any plans of like pursuing any kind of a solo career or anything like that. As far as a recording artist, I'm getting up there in age a little bit, and any ideas of doing that have kind of passed along the way.
Your show, like you said before, goes through eras. Where do you start? Where does the show go as far as the journey is concerned?
We kind of kick off and do a big intro. I think we knock out like four songs before I ever even say a word. Then it kind of goes into a history thing, and we start talking about his life and history and music. We run into the Sun Records stuff, which is where Johnny Cash started early in the 50s in Memphis, Tennessee. Work our way through, just try to hit every era of his music and give the history of what was going on and why he was doing either the prison concerts or how he ended up getting his TV show. Mm-hmm. We just try to do it that way. I never take the persona of Johnny Cash on stage, even though we're playing his music, we're wearing the costumes. Mm-hmm. I never say I'm Johnny Cash. I'm always talking in third person. It's basically a musical documentary about Johnny Cash's life. It's narrated by Sean Barker.
Again, Sean Barker at Don Laughlin's Riverside Resort and Casino in Laughlin. I'm on the website now, Sean. I've got your dates. February 25th, tomorrow, of course, 26th, 27th, 28th, and Sunday, March 1st, going right into March. And then you head off to Florida. Man, you go from, you know, San Juan Capistrano over to Laughlin, and then you head out to Florida. And is there any place that you haven't played that you want to play?
There's a few states we haven't been to yet. I haven't played in Wyoming or Montana. I haven't played in Alaska.
That's
interesting. I've played all over Canada, France, Belgium, Australia, and Germany. Yeah, we've been to almost all the states. There's not too many places that we haven't played, but yeah, there's still a few that I'd love to get into and love to play. This run, I'll leave on February 18th, and I will run straight through to March 10th is when I believe I fly back home.
You ever thought of playing in Japan? You know, they worship American musicians there.
Yeah, I would love to. There's not really any place that I would not love to go play. I'd love to bring the show everywhere. You know, it's just a matter of logistics and booking and the opportunity, but I would go just about anywhere they asked me to go play.
Sean, you ever play on a stage with somebody and it's almost surreal? You're saying, how did I get here? How am I playing with this person? For example, I interviewed Bill Medley, and he said that person for him was Ray Charles. He actually sang, you know, and played with Ray Charles, and it was just an out-of-body experience for him. Have you ever had anything like that happen in your career?
I opened for Merle Haggard one night.
Whoa.
And that was pretty surreal, even being on the same ticket. Like being Merle Haggard's opening act was pretty insane.
That's intense. I mean, pretty insane. Think about it, what was it like backstage with you know the Hag?
Yeah, you don't see him.
Oh, you don't?
No, you don't see him. He didn't do sound checks. He didn't do anything. He just like appeared off his bus onto stage and then disappeared back onto his bus off the stage. I saw Merle Haggard when I was done playing, and I was standing in the audience watching him sing.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's actually a great story. Where was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. It was part of a big hot rod and tattoo festival. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was cool.
That's great entertainment for a festival like that. That's awesome. Tell me about this past summer in Branson. How did you do there? How did the folks receive you in Branson?
It was good. We had a good run. People always enjoy the show. I've never had anybody come and not enjoy the show. If you're a Cash fan or, like I always say, if you even just like live music, like I've got a fantastic band, like crazy talented band that plays. So if you're just into live music, you're going to love the show. Not going to do the Branson thing again outside of working with Legends where I'm just part of a show.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot involved with trying to run and operate your own theater and your own show that I just enjoy touring.
I'm very familiar with Legends, and Legends was at the Riverside for years, years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Legends, of course, I think it started in Vegas at the Imperial Palace back in the day. I grew up born and raised in Vegas. So.
Yeah, they started there at the Imperial Palace in the 80s.
Right. So, anyway, good luck on the road. Have safe travels and get to Laughlin safely. And again, he starts tomorrow night in Laughlin at the Riverside Resort Hotel and Casino. Call the entertainment office for more information and tickets. Or you can do what I did and go to themaninblack.com and look for the tour dates right there. And you can get tickets online right there. Just push the button that says buy tickets.
Like you said, just go to the schedule page and find the date you want. Hit the buy tickets button. It'll take you right to the link to purchase your tickets for any of our shows.
It's very, very up to date. Anyway, enjoy time with family before you go out on the road, and the family is always important. And tomorrow night in Laughlin, Sean Barker.
Yeah, man, looking forward to doing it. It's going to be a blast.
I fell into a ring of fire.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, and don't forget tomorrow, Lake Havasu Unified School District Day. We've got school district officials in the first half, and Lake Havasu Unified School District Governing Board President David Rose at 12:30-ish. So there you have it. On Thursday, we've got Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, and I'll get to see Carrie Hemme. Carrie Hemme's going to come in the studio and record an interview for later on in March. We're going to play that. It's all about Earth Day coming back to Havasu. We'll do another special Friday show. It's getting to where it's not so special, right? But of course it's special. It's with James Jarman from Mojave College. So we'll talk about, who knows what we're going to talk about. I haven't had James in here forever. Hopefully, maybe we can get Coach Valencia on the show, because he was in the Final Four for soccer. I know a little bit about that sport. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Have a great day.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.